Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. It's a new year, but Juneau residents are still digging out from 4 feet of snow that fell earlier this week. According to the National Weather Service, more than 80 inches of snow fell at Juneau International Airport last month. It made December the capital city's second snowiest month ever recorded. City Manager Katie Kester said in a press briefing earlier this week that the city is struggling to keep up.
The snow removal process takes a long time because we basically have to either with snowblowers or loaders load all of that snow up into dump trucks and then take it away. We're also having challenges with snow storage sites just because of the tremendous volume of snow.
Fred Meyer closed early yesterday and did not reopen this morning. A spokesperson said they're closed for snow removal and hope to reopen as soon as possible. The Fred Meyer gas station is also closed after part of its awning collapsed. The roof of the Juneau Shotokan Karate Dojo in the Mendenhall Valley collapsed on Wednesday morning. Board Vice President Sandy Burgess wrote on social media that no one was inside the building at the time. At least 9 vessels and multiple boat shelters sank at Juneau's harbors throughout the week. The city's docks and harbor staff are working around the clock to respond to reports and are pleading with owners to check their vessels. Harbor Master Matt Cresswell says dozens of boats have had near misses.
It's going to be a long process, though, with the number of boats that are currently sunk, but staff ready for that challenge, and we'll be working in earnest starting today, raising vessels, but expect that to be a couple-week process.
The Alaska Department of Transportation reopened Thane Road on New Year's Day after performing avalanche mitigation on the bridge above. Officials say the avalanche danger remains high in all neighborhoods below Mount Juneau. No major snow is forecast to fall in Juneau until Monday. However, temperatures are expected to drop this weekend. Thane Road is now open after being closed for 2 days due to avalanche risk. The Alaska Department of Transportation announced yesterday afternoon that crews had completed avalanche mitigation and reopened the road. DOT reminds drivers not to stop in the avalanche zone and to use caution while traveling in the area. An avalanche advisory remains in effect for the Barrens neighborhood and other areas of downtown in the Mount Juneau slide path. And two Juneau artists spent this snowy Friday framing and mounting 18 block prints that correlate with myths, ones they wrote themselves. These prints are part of a show titled My Mother's Bones that's opening at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center for the month. Rachel Levy says thinking about folk tales and their morals inspired the series.
Things you wouldn't even consider mythology, just like certain truths we hear over and over again and all the stories that are told to us growing up and stories we tell each other as adults.
She wanted to write her own, ones that reflect themes she holds dear, the gifts that our mothers give us, both the ones who birth us and Mother Earth. One print shows a heart with a dagger through it.
This is about a mom and a daughter who kind of like grow up in this garden together, and the daughter never appreciates life, is never content, and so the mother decides to slowly cut out her heart and feed it to her daughter piece by piece so that way she can enjoy life.
Levy says it represents her gratitude to her own mother and the sacrifices she made raising her. Alex Bookless was also inspired by her own family for her prints, including the four-legged kind. She points to a print of a dog shooting through the darkness with the sun in its teeth.
Basically, it's a story about how much I love my dog and how much I think that loving my dog teaches me how to love myself.
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. That story and 17 other new folktales can be found at The Jack tonight from 4 to 7 p.m. The show runs through January. In 2025, Alaskans experienced record-breaking heat on the North Slope, over 7 inches of rain in a single day in Ketchikan, and in recent weeks, extreme winds in the Mat-Su Valley. When we asked veteran climatologist Rick Toman what word he'd use to describe 2025, he said picking one was easy: extreme. This is KNOM's Ben Townsend talking with Toman about the Alaska climate in 2025.
The one word to describe our weather and climate is extreme. We had extreme events in all regions of the state, including quite a number of state disaster declarations. This is, of course, continuing this trend of more frequent high-impact events that we've had for some years now.
You've got over 40 years of experience in Alaska studying climate, studying weather. Does anything surprise you still?
The devastation that we saw from Halong, it's one of those things that we intellectually know can happen, but to actually see that, to see those pictures and the videos of houses floating away, that is really, really powerful. And it's really hard to think about that level of impact ahead of time.
You said the word of the year is extreme, and certainly in the last couple of months, particularly in the Mat-Su Valley area, we've had really extreme winds. What's your take on that?
This December is going to be extreme, not just from the impact wise, with the heavy snow in southeast, with repeated high winds in Mat-Su, extreme cold in parts of the interior, but it's also going to be extreme in the atmospheric, climatological sense. All of this weather this month, the many days of extreme winds in Mat-Su, the heavy snow in southeast, the extreme cold, they all tie back to this incredibly persistent, massive high pressure in the upper atmosphere centered over the Bering Sea. That feature has been locked in since the first week of December, and that is really the driver of much of this extreme weather. It's not unusual to get that for a few days or maybe a week, but to have this kind of big high pressure in December over the Bering Sea lasting the full month, in fact, it's going to last into the new year. That is really unusual. I would say we are very likely to see records set in that very technical sense of massive high pressure in the upper atmosphere over the Bering Sea.
Rick, is there something that I did not ask you about? Another highlight of the year, potentially a low light of the year, that we didn't talk about yet?
2025 was a significant wildfire year. We did cross that million acre threshold. Fires concentrated once again in the interior, as that's where fires usually are. Probably the most impactful fire this year was the Bear Creek fire in June between Denali National Park and Anderson. And that fire actually resulted in the loss of people's homes. So not just cabins or seasonally occupied buildings, but rather people's primary residences. Also, there was quite a number of fires around the Fairbanks area that resulted in evacuations, and over the 4th of July holiday caused all kinds of traffic problems on the road between Fairbanks and Anchorage. So it was another impactful wildfire season for sure. In southeast Alaska, of course, we had what's now become the annual glacier outburst flooding on the Mendenhall River in Juneau in August. And that was followed in September by a couple of severe windstorms, including one that produced lots of damage at the small community of Elvin Cove, northern southeast, and then Ketchikan's more than 7.5 inches of rain one day in September that produced flooding in the Gateway City. So there's really all kinds of things to talk about. Another one I want to hit on that really high impact, potential high impact for the environment was the early July heat wave in northwest Alaska, where we saw communities right on the Chukchi Coast, Wainwright and Point Lay on the North Slope, got to 80 degrees. A reliable 93 degrees reported near Shungnak in northwest Arctic Borough in that heat wave. And that heat wave lasted for a number of days. And so that kind of heat in that area, probably nearly unprecedented. It's occasionally been 90 in the Upper Kobuk Valley, but 93 at Shungnak, really quite remarkable. And 80 degrees on the Chukchi Sea coast on the North Slope. That is really amazing.
That was KNOM's Ben Townsend speaking with Rick Toman from the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Preparedness. And like many people during the holiday season, Sitkin Galen Needham was planning on spending Christmas with her adult children, who plan to fly in from Pelican. However, due to record snowfall, as well as other unfavorable weather like low visibility and cold temperatures, Pelican has been without seaplane access since November 28th, cutting the southeast community of around 90 people off from the rest of the region.
We lived out there full time in the 70s, and we had hard winters out there then, and the seaplanes landed, and they would often ice up. But that was under a different ownership and a different kind of plane, and so I think now they're just more cautious.
Ajax Eggleston is Needham's son, who's been living in Pelican off and on for about 5 decades. And he says he thinks this is the longest period of time Pelican has gone without plane access. He says it doesn't help that Pelican's December ferry was also canceled due to rough winter conditions in the region. Living in remote Alaska, Eggleston is used to the occasional mail delay. But dealing with decreased ferry capacity at the same time has not made things easy.
That's kind of a big part of this, is that we just don't have reliable ferry service anymore because we only have the Lekanti that can tie up to our ferry terminal. And when the Lekanti is laid up, we don't have a big enough ferry to run in foul weather.
As a result, Eggleston is still waiting to receive the replacement parts he needs to repair his broken furnace and pipes. And as for other residents in Pelican, he knows some have rescheduled their medical appointments. Others are waiting on Costco orders of fresh produce that are stuck in Juneau.
Everybody's kind of hunkered down, just watching their vegetables disappear. I mean, we're fine. We're a subsistence-based community, so we're not going to starve, but there's no vegetables and no produce of any kind. So we're overdue for a mail plane.
Eggleston says Pelican residents have saved up enough frozen vegetables to get by. There's an Allen Marine catamaran expected to arrive on January 6th, as well as a state ferry on January 10th. Until then, Pelican residents are in a waiting game for better weather. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 13 degrees and overcast. This afternoon and tonight, we may have a chance of snow showers, which will dry up by tomorrow morning. And the weekend looks clear with low temperatures. And it looks like we're due for some more snow Sunday night and into Monday. This is KTOO. Thank you for tuning in.